It's Wednesday, wonderful Wednesday here at Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and man, I am just so anxious to get this program started. We've got a great show for you today. Let's kick things off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. Father, we are so grateful for your love, for the fact that you are always with us, for the fact that no matter what we do, even if it's something bad or sinful, you will never stop loving us, and you will always welcome us back. Thank you for that love. We want to repay that love in some way, Father, so we give our lives to you today. We ask you to use us to do good, to be a light shining in the darkness. Use us for whatever you need today, Father, but we ask that you give us the grace, the strength that we need to be able to get through the day and to always stay close to you. And I ask you to speak through us on the program today. Use us to proclaim your message and open our minds and our hearts so that we can hear what you have to say. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's pretty foggy out today. Pretty foggy. I'm trying to see here. Wait a minute. Who's that in front of me? Is that Dave Parker?
Gare, is that you, brother? Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. P.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm well. I'm very well.
Anything special happening in your life, Mr.
Yes,
Dave Parker?
Yes, actually there is, Gare, and thanks for the opportunity. Barbara's and my 42nd wedding anniversary.
Congrats, brother.
Thank
Congrats,
you.
Barbara, if you're listening.
And I just want to say, well, what a wonderful 42 years of marriage, and then 4 years before that we dated. So, and Gary said, what was I, 12 when I got married? No.
You look a lot younger, buddy. Yeah. I can't believe it's been 42 years.
But thank
years.
You, Barbara, awesome. For a beautiful life and a wonderful time. And it's not without struggle, as we all know in marriage. But I'm so blessed, and so thank you. God bless.
Any special plans for today?
Dinner.
Okay.
Dinner, and we're still looking, so anybody has some good suggestions. I mean, we know of a lot of good restaurants, but we just couldn't come up with one. So we will know by noon, I guess.
All right, well, I'll expect a full report tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, very good. Enjoy your day. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you, listeners.
Boy, that is so cool.
Pray for us.
Yeah, that is so cool. Okay, great show today, Dave. On the program, Dr. Greg Popchak will be joining us. Dr. Greg is a regular on the program. He's very well known. The reason I asked Greg to come on the show is to talk about the danger of negative thinking. Now, Dave, you're a pretty positive guy, but it's possible, and this is incredible. Norman Vincent Peale, many years ago, wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. I believe that negative thinking is even more powerful than positive thinking, but not in a good way, because if we fall victim to negative thinking, now, follow me on this, Dave, if we fall victim to negative thinking, we can actually stop God from working miracles in our lives.
Oh, yes.
He's going to let us do that.
Oh, yes.
I can stop praying for the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
I can just give up. I mean, it's so important that we learn to deal with negative thinking, and I thought, let's get Dr. Popchak on the show. He understands the topic. He's been doing Catholic therapy for years. He's a theology of the body expert, so he understands. We all have these thoughts at times that could be negative.
Oh, yeah.
How do we learn to overcome those?
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk with him a little bit about that. Also on the program today, a gentleman named Tim Glemkowski will be here. He recently wrote, this is a really cool article that he wrote about how to stop leaky parishes. Is your parish leaking? And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that the water pipes are leaking, but it means something else. I think you'll be very interested to hear what Tim has to say.
Looking forward to
He's
going to
be on with us, too. Now, all right, I have a couple things for you. Okay, you know what I want to share? I want to share. This is, you know, Dave, I love this. And anybody listening, you don't realize what I put poor Dave through, but he generally has no idea what I'm about to hit him with on these programs. So Dave looks
generally
scared.
It's true.
So I like spontaneity here.
So do I.
We're going to take a look at some famous people who failed. Now, we talk about negative thinking, and it's very easy to look at circumstances in life and to give up and say, you know what, I'm never going to amount to anything.
Yes.
Well, these are some famous people who failed. And, Dave, I just want to run a couple of these by
you,
see if you may know who I'm talking about. Okay. You game for this?
I'm up.
Now, these are famous people.
Game on, brother.
Okay.
I'm ready.
The first gentleman, he had a hard time selling his chicken at first. In fact, his famous secret recipe, chicken, was rejected 1,009 times before a restaurant accepted it.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
Any idea?
Colonel Sanders.
Colonel Sanders. That is correct. You know, when you think about that, what if he gave up after two times, after
That's
three
right.
times?
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one.
Well, okay, I was going to respond.
What?
Your
job is to just answer the question.
He had trouble selling his chicken.
Yeah.
Was that one? Or just,
yeah, I hear you.
At first, no.
All right,
no.
How about this gentleman
okay.
who was fired by a newspaper editor because, quote, he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. After that, he started a number of businesses that didn't last too long, ended with bankruptcy and failure, each of these businesses. But mm-hmm. he kept plugging along and eventually found a recipe for success that worked.
Mm.
Probably no idea, right?
No, I'm stumped on that.
Could be any number
Could
of
be,
people.
Yes, yes.
Walt Disney.
Oh.
Walt Disney, That's no funny. Imagination, lacked imagination and no good ideas.
Wow.
What if he quit?
Yeah.
How about this guy? He didn't speak until he was 4 and didn't read until he was 7, causing his teachers and parents to think he was mentally handicapped, slow, and antisocial. Eventually, he was expelled from school and was refused admittance to the Zurich Polytechnic School.
Gary Zimak? No. No, just kidding.
You're not going to believe it.
Okay.
Albert Einstein.
Einstein.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, this could be Gary Zimak. In his early years, teachers told him he was too stupid to learn anything.
Work Not was, true, brother.
Listen
Come
to
on.
This. Work was no better as he was fired from his first two jobs for not being productive enough. Even as an inventor, here's a little hint, he made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb.
Edison.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot of times we look at these people who are very successful and we think,
Absolutely.
Wow, everything mm-hmm. really worked out for them perfectly. But
mm-hmm.
not the case. They just kept plugging along.
Really? And they had no quit in them.
Right. That's right.
Apparently.
Okay. Let's see. We have time for a couple more?
We do.
You're hoping
yes.
we don't, but we do.
Unfortunately,
All
we
right.
don't know.
These individuals battled depression and family illness before starting the bicycle shop that would lead them to experimenting with flight. After numerous attempts at creating flying machines, several years of hard work, and tons of failed prototypes, these brothers created a plane that could get airborne and stay there.
Wow. The Wright brothers.
The Wright brothers.
Oh, yes.
Failed many times.
Wow.
This other individual.
I'm glad they succeeded.
Right, yeah, yeah good point.
In the end.
Is Frank as he's flying to wherever it is he's flying to today.
Exactly.
This gentleman struggled in school and failed the sixth grade. After school, he faced many years of political failures and was defeated in every election for public office until he finally became the Prime Minister of England at the ripe old age of 62.
Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, famous actor.
Okay.
In his initial screen test, this was the quote, "Can't act, can't sing, slightly bald, can dance a little."
Oh, boy. I'm stumped.
Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire.
Okay. Fred Astaire.
Wow.
Okay, how about this one? One of the best-selling musical artists of all time. In 1954, he was a nobody. And he was fired by the manager of the Grand Ole Opry, very famous musical venue in Tennessee, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
With the quote, fired after one performance, that he was told, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck."
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley.
Wow.
Elvis Presley. Okay, I'm going to do one final one. This gentleman, athlete, he was cut from his high school basketball team. Over the course of his career, he missed 9,000 shots, lost almost 300 games, on 26 occasions was entrusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. He's failed over and over and over again. Basketball player.
All right.
Michael Jordan.
Well, I was going to say Michael
Cut
Jordan.
From his high school basketball team. So, you know, like, these are somewhat...
Who would have thunk that?
These are somewhat humorous, but
yes.
It gives me hope.
Yeah.
It gives me hope that not everything always works out the way we plan, but if we don't give up, if we continue... And, I mean, there's a time when, you have to recognize, well, this isn't what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But these people felt called to do whatever
Absolutely.
It is. They were using their gifts, and they didn't give up.
Yeah.
It all starts with positive thinking.
Positive thinking and faith in oneself. Yeah, and this applies to everyone, you know? I love this topic, Gary.
That's right. And, oh, by the way, I just got a note from my wife, Eileen. So thank you, honey, for being aware on top of things. We talk about Elvis.
Oh, yes.
Today's the anniversary of his death way back in 1977.
Wow.
I remember that vividly when that happened.
So do I.
Boy, that was...
So do I.
What a shock.
So that really was earth-shattering, and it rattled a lot of people's
lives.
Oh, yeah. All over the world.
So... Hey, you know what? Say a prayer for his soul today. That's sometimes we forget that. We forget that he's a real person, and you know, we entrust him to the mercy of the Lord.
Amen, brother.
As we would anyone else. All right, let's take a look at the gospel today from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything in which they are for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them."
Very powerful.
A lot going on in this gospel, but if I'm going to take one message out of this, well, there's actually a couple messages that come out that stand out to me. The one being that if you have somebody in your life that may have wronged you, or you may feel they are on the wrong track, you do have that obligation at some point to maybe let them know, but do it in private. Mm-hmm. Pray for prudence to know when I should say something, because we do it out of love, but we certainly don't want to take the occasion of a party where there's many people around
to
say, "Hey, you know what, Dave Parker, I'm not happy with the way you've been acting lately. Oops, I forgot we were on the radio.
I shouldn't do that.
But seriously, you do it in private.
Absolutely.
And the other good message for us is the importance of the church. The importance of the church. When the church, when the Pope and the bishops are gathered together to make a decision, they are able to make that decision on behalf of the Lord, because the Lord established the church. So we listen to what they have to say. The church is very powerful. The church knows what she's doing. So let's defer to her judgment in all cases. All right, when we come back, Dr. Greg Popcheck and the power of positive thinking. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for August 16th. Today we celebrate Saint Stephen of Hungary. Stephen is the most important of Hungary's Christian kings and the country's spiritual patron. Born in 975, he was baptized at age 10. His father was the chief of the Magyars, a group of raiders who had come to the Danube the century before. When he succeeded his father, Stephen established Christianity as the religion of his country for both political and religious reasons. He suppressed a series of revolts by pagan nobles and welded the Magyars into a strong national group. With Rome's approval, he was crowned king on Christmas Day in the year 1001. Stephen created a system of tithes to support churches and pastors and to relieve the poor. Out of every 10 towns, one had to build a church and support a priest. With a certain amount of violence, he abolished pagan customs and commanded all to marry except clergy and religious. Stephen had a special devotion to the poor and often distributed alms to them in disguise. The death of his son Emeric in 1031 resulted in a fight over succession to the throne. Stephen died in 1038 and was canonized along with Emeric in 1083. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
What can I do to leave a legacy? How can I speak with authority when I can't see you? I can't see you. How can I know the dreams you have for me? How do I believe beyond what I have seen when I can't hear you? I can't feel you now. No, 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 no. You're my revival song. You start where I belong. Outside of you, knocking down doors I shouldn't be going through. But I'm so tired, I'm so tired. You take my burdens off of my shoulders. You break the lies that hold me back. So I'll know it's you're enough. Oh, 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 oh. You're my revival song. You start where I belong. On my knees, on my knees. When I'm weak, you're strong. You meet me here when I'm on my knees, on my knees. Yeah, start.
And welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was Tim Timmons, a reminder that it starts with me. Go out there and be nice. Show Jesus to the world today. It really does start with each one of us. The time right now is 7:18. Just quickly, it's very foggy out there in the Delaware Valley, so if you're outside, be very careful when you drive. Okay, my first guest is a regular on the program, Dr. Gregory Popchak. He is a theology of the body expert. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's a radio host. He's all kinds of things, and he is my number one go-to therapist when I have a question. Dr. Greg, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. This is a tough topic today, Greg, but I think it's an important one. The danger of negative thinking. And I think that, Greg, before I let you have your say on this, I was thinking about this, and there's a Bible story that really hits me. It's about this from Mark chapter 5. It's the story of a woman who suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. She went to a lot of doctors, and she not only didn't get better, she got worse, and she used up all of her money. But for some reason, she persisted, and she knew that if she could just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, she could be healed. And eventually, that's exactly what happened. Greg, negative thinking. You know, Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book, and I know it's a book that is widely criticized by mental health professionals and many church organizations. We can talk about that later if you want. But he wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. I think that negative thinking can be even more powerful because by thinking negatively, we can stop God from performing miracles in our lives.
Well, that is true. And negative thinking, let me kind of frame it a little bit differently, because negative thinking does stop or can stop us from cooperating effectively with God's grace.
Right.
And it can present some real obstacles for us being the people that God is calling us to be and doing what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's not as simple as either thinking negatively or thinking positively.
Okay.
Because actually there's a lot of research that shows that thinking positively can actually make you feel worse, too. Because,
wow.
Well, what's interesting about that is that, in the front of your head, you're saying things like, gosh darn it, I'm a good person, I'm a smart person, and people like me.
Huh.
And in the back of your head, you're hearing, yeah, right.
Right.
And what do we listen to? We listen to the, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we're trying to battle negative thinking, just telling ourselves a whole bunch of platitudes or thinking about a bunch of happy thoughts isn't really the best cure. It's really rational thinking. That's the best way to approach the situation, to acknowledge that, this is difficult. I'm going through a hard thing. This is tough. But here are the resources that God has given me to deal with it. Here are the people in my life that are here, that are around to support me. Here is the grace that I'm being given. And here are the things that I can do to respond to the situation that I'm in. So it's more a matter of taking in that whole picture so that we're able to acknowledge both the difficulties we're going through, but the resources that God is giving us to be, as St. Paul puts it, more than overcomers.
Very interesting. And I know in my own life, when I first launched out into full-time ministry over 5 years ago, Greg, I thought this was a crazy idea. I got laid off from my day job, and thank God my wife said, why don't you just give this a try? There have been many times that I wanted to quit because it doesn't make sense. But it always got back to, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk with you, and the Lord has opened certain doors for me. And I was being realistic, but at the same time, every day, quite often throughout these past several years when I've been doing the Lord's work, there's that voice in my head that says, come on, Gary, you're not that good. This isn't going to work.
Right, and that's a real way that Satan tries to take you and everybody else off the path. And I think that, this is something that I talk with a lot of clients about, in the process of trying to figure out, what is a rational way of viewing the situation, I bring up a lot of the work that St. Ignatius of Loyola did in the Sermon of Spirits,
okay,
where we kind of, he talked about consolations and desolations.
Right.
Desolations are those movements of the spirit, he called them. Basically, they're thoughts, their impulses, their feelings that pull us away from being the person that God wants us to be, or pull us away from the things that would draw us closer to God. It makes us harder to draw closer to God or to be who he wants us to be. So any feeling that you are experiencing, any thought that you're having that makes you feel like you're dragging, a weight on your back as you're trying to do what God's asking you to do, that's a desolation.
Okay.
A consolation, on the other hand, is a feeling or a thought or an impulse that challenges you in some way to be more of the person God wants you to be, or draw closer to God. The thing is, it can get a little confusing because, not all consolations feel good in St. Ignatius's model, because, for example, if I'm in sin and I feel guilty about that, well, that guilt makes me want to be more of the person God wants me to be and pull me closer to God, and so that could be a consolation.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, in some situations, if I'm feeling guilty and that's preventing me from reaching out to God, or it's causing me to kind of wallow in my brokenness, well, then that would be a desolation, right? So it's
right.
Not so much how it feels, whether it feels positive or negative, but it's the direction of that motivation? Does it push me toward being the person God wants me to be and closer to God, or does it pull me away? That's what determines whether it's a consolation or a desolation. Once I've figured out whether it's a consolation or a desolation, if it's a desolation, that thought or impulse is coming from Satan. It's one of Satan's ways of throwing obstacles in my path. You know, and our and the reason that it's important to kind of recognize this is that our feelings don't belong to us until we sort of own them, until we sign for the package, if you will. Mm-hmm. Feelings are very transient; they come, they go.
Right.
But if I identify with my feelings, if I say, "Okay, this feeling is me," you know, that then it becomes harder to let those feelings go. If I can keep those feelings at an arm's length, those impulses, I can sort of say, okay, is this feeling, this impulse I'm having right now, a consolation or a desolation? If it's a desolation, I can say, you know, I don't want to sign for that package. Yes, I feel it right now, but I'm going to focus on this other thing instead.
Okay.
As a way of recognizing that you know, that this is not a feeling I want to entertain or to own as my own. And I'm going to concentrate on these other things so that I can do the good thing, the healthy thing, the godly thing, in spite of how I'm feeling. And if you can do that,
right,
then the feelings tend to pass away in about 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm able to move on to the thing that God wants me to do.
Right.
But too often we tend to say, well, I am my feelings.
Yes.
Whatever I'm feeling right now, that's the way I have to be.
Right, right. And we had you on the show last time talking about exactly that,
right,
because that's a real danger. That's something that I struggle with. We have a little under 2 minutes left. And, Greg, to put this in perspective, maybe look at a practical example, we have somebody listening, for instance, hypothetically, they've been on 27 job interviews. They've been out of work for a year and a half. How do they get motivated for that 28th job interview? I mean, we know, we look at Scripture, with God all things are possible, but they're looking at the data. How do they get motivated and stay positive?
It's all about, you know, recognizing that God's given you certain gifts and that He expects you to use them in some way, and bringing them back to God, you know, and saying, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do with these gifts? How do you want me to respond to this? You know, maybe, you know, going back in and doing the same job interview for the same type of positions isn't what God wants you to do.
Okay.
Right, you know,
right.
But it's a matter of saying, okay, Lord, you know, I have these gifts, I have this desire to do a particular kind of work or to serve you in certain ways. What is it you want me to do with these gifts? How do you want me to use them? Because I think that opening up our mind to the possibility that maybe God is saying no to this particular direction I'm on, but He's not saying no to providing for my family.
Ah.
He's not saying no to using the gifts He's given me.
Right.
He might be saying no to going in this specific direction. So, you know, kind of putting it out there to my friends and to everybody who will listen, you know, this is what I want to be doing. These are the gifts that I've got. I'm really open to serving God in any way that I can. You know, give me some opportunities and give me, you know, and let's talk about some new avenues. And then being open to all the different ways that God might want to meet that need instead of kind of locking Him into just the one thing that I think is going to work.
You know what? There's a reason you're so well known. You're really good.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And we have more tips like this in our book, God Help Me, The Stress Is Driving Me Crazy, Finding Balance Through God's Grace.
Yeah, and let's talk about that quickly before we go. If somebody wants to get in touch with you or check out your numerous books, and you know, I highly recommend your services, Greg. Where's the best place that we can go online?
Sure. If they'd like to learn more about the telephone counseling practice or the books, they can go to CatholicCounselors.com. That's CatholicCounselors.com, or call us directly to make an appointment to speak with a counselor at 740-266-6461.
And I'm going to have that information linked at SpiritInTheMorning.com. When people ask me, you know, I speak a lot about overcoming anxiety. When people ask me, do you know somebody who can counsel us? You are always the guy I mentioned, Dr. Greg Popcheck. So thank you for your work. Thank you very much, Gary. Hey, and thanks for being here for us. I really appreciate it, brother.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. God bless you. Dr. Greg Popcheck. Boy, he always brings such good advice. Realistic.
Perfect.
Good advice.
One of his many gifts.
Yep, absolutely. When we come back, we're going to be talking leaky parishes. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Mourners are gathering in Charlottesville, Virginia today to honor the woman who was killed when a car rammed into a crowd of people protesting a white nationalist rally. A memorial service for Heather Heyer is scheduled for this morning at a downtown Charlottesville theater. Attendees were asked to wear purple, Heyer's favorite color, in her memory. President Donald Trump yesterday defended his original statement on Charlottesville, again blaming both sides for the weekend violence between white supremacists and counter-demonstrators in Virginia, and rebuffing the widespread criticism of his handling of the emotionally charged protests. Trump spoke to reporters yesterday in the lobby of his Manhattan skyscraper. He also showed sympathy for efforts to preserve Confederate monuments. And the Trump administration is denouncing the Islamic State group for carrying out genocide against Christians and other religious minorities in areas under its control. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says the group is clearly responsible for genocide against Christians, Yazidis, and Shiite Muslims in Iraq, Syria, and elsewhere. His comments came yesterday as the State Department released its annual report on international religious freedom. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
No matter who we are or where we come from, we all experience difficulties in life.
Military veterans know that sometimes it takes strength and determination to make it through.
Whether it's obvious physical challenges or struggles on the inside, it takes strength to ask for help when you need it.
I knew that I had to get support, not just for me, but for the sake of my wife and kids.
Talking about it has helped me feel more like myself again.
Honestly, it was hard to open up at first, but it's changed my life for the better.
Learn how veterans like us have reached out for help and hear stories of strength and recovery at MakeTheConnection.net.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Priest and author Henry Nouwen once wrote the following words about the power of God's unconditional love. How do we know that we are infinitely loved by God when our immediate surroundings keep telling us that we'd better prove our right to exist? The knowledge of being loved in an unconditional way before the world presents us with its conditions cannot come from books, lectures, television programs, or workshops. This spiritual knowledge comes from people who witness to God's love for us through their words and deeds. These people can be close to us, but they can also live far away or may even have lived long ago. Their witness announces the truth of God's love and calls us to act in accordance with it. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all other people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you where. Not enough.
to the widow who suffers from being alone, wiping the tears from her eyes, and for the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Cry Out to Jesus by Third Day. Boy, that's a good message for you today. If you're struggling with something, if you need anything, don't panic. Just cry out to Jesus. Let him know, because he honestly cares about you. The time right now is 7:37. All right, we're going to be talking leaky parishes. And no, it does not refer to plumbing problems. We are joined now by Tim Glemkowski. Tim has worked in various roles in evangelization, including teaching high school theology, youth and young adult ministry at a parish, and also as a director of evangelization and catechesis. Tim joins us now to talk about leaky parishes. Hey, Tim, good morning, brother.
Gary, how you doing? I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, man, thanks so much for coming on the show. Tim, before we talk about this very spot-on article about leaky parishes, tell us a little bit about the ministry that you're involved with right now.
Yes, I appreciate you asking. We, L'Alto Catholic Institute is the name of the not-for-profit apostolate that I founded with a couple of friends that graduated with me from Steubenville. And we operate here in the Chicagoland and Northern Illinois area. I'm just really trying to build a culture of missionary discipleship, you know, train parishes how to form disciples and then run, you know, kind of events and parish missions and stuff like that, all aimed at just really evangelizing Catholics.
Good for you, brother, because it's very much needed. We're going to have your information linked at spiritinthemorning.com just in case anybody wants to get in touch with you. Let's talk about leaky parishes. This article really caught my attention. First of all, before we go into the three steps to prevent your parishes from leaking, what exactly is a leaky parish?
Yeah, so the idea, I was trying to find the best word to describe this experience I had had. You know, kind of working in parishes for a while, what I started to notice is it's amazing the amount of people who kind of attach and detach from a parish all the time for like all kinds of different reasons. You know what I mean? Between Christmas and Easter, like, and even Mother's Day and Ash Wednesday, like large mass attendance days, to, you know, office walk-ins, to, you know, more big moments like marriage prep and baptism prep, and you know, kind of the consistent you know, idea or like reaction that I've had kind of seeing this happen across the years is that a lot of people, you know, come to the parish for a variety of reasons, and we're, you know, as the church is really kind of re-energizing with this emphasis on evangelization and parish life, you know, one of the first places I think we need to start is making sure that those people who come to us, we don't kind of quote-unquote leak them back out, you know, like that they come in and we don't just like let them kind of drip back away without having really heard the gospel message and be kind of initiated a little bit into the parish life.
Yeah, well, let's talk about these three steps that you mentioned. These are very practical. The first one, preach the kerygma. That's a big word, Tim. What's going on there?
Yeah, the kerygma, yeah, that's kind of one of those classic, like, catechetical
words. Yeah, it sounds fancy.
But yeah, it's probably, you know, it really is, it's which is funny because it's a very simple idea. The idea that really the why behind everything that we do as Catholics is the basic gospel message, like the stuff of, you know, God loves you. In sin, we have been separated from God's love. Jesus Christ comes to redeem us from that love if we, you know, through the sacraments of the Catholic Church and through repentance, we can have a relationship with God again, be, you know, restored to that relationship. And I think in a lot of ways, like, we do so much, especially when I think of things like baptism prep, you know, young couples coming back to the church, because we know many people fall away in college or their early 20s, and they've had a kid, and now they're coming back to the church to, mm-hmm. to receive baptism for their son or daughter. And in reality, like, in terms of their, you know, belief in the church, it might be a little bit hazy. They might not be, you know, quite sure where they stand on everything.
Right.
And that basic gospel message, like, we sometimes just want to catechize in that moment. We want to make sure that they know what baptism is about.
Right.
But in reality, what we have to lead with is, well, why? Like, why is baptism even a thing in the first place?
Yeah.
And kind of get to the heart of the matter.
Hey, Tim, a common message that, and I've been going to parishes for years, been to many different parishes, a common message that I never heard for so many years is that Jesus Christ is a real person, and he wants to be your friend, right? I mean, that's so basic.
Right, or even that, you know, I'm a millennial, and for a lot of millennials who, you know, there are sometimes intellectual hang-ups with the faith,
right. Maybe
kicking into that pre-evangelization piece, too, where you address some of those intellectual concerns that they might have, like, he's a person, but he was even, you know, he walked this earth, and there's a lot of historical evidence to believe that that's true. And you know what I mean? Just kind of getting really back to the basics, not assuming people are further along in their faith journey than they are, that they just need to kind of, you know, understand the rite of baptism, and they'll be set. But going back to the core of the message, almost convince them that it's true.
Yep. And one of your other steps is offer a meaningful relationship or at least a sense of belonging. Now, come on, Tim, we're Catholic. We don't do that. Sense of belonging. I don't want to be. Listen, I want to go to Mass on Sunday, and I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to get to know people. We don't do that.
Yeah. I think it's kind of a hard thing, especially, you know, with the liturgy. That's you know, first and foremost, the Holy Sacrifice, right? Which is this vertical, you know, relationship, the offering, you know, of the priest of you know, the body and blood of Jesus to the Lord. So, in a certain sense, I think sometimes that's why we get uncomfortable with that, because it's not all the time like the perfect occasion to just kind of be like this very horizontal experience.
Yeah.
But I do think sometimes we don't lead with community. There are so many people, I think even in this increasingly technological world, people are just craving real relationships, you know, and that's going to be probably the primary thing, I think, that gives people, it's not going to be the only thing, right? Like, we're not saying just kind of, you know, belonging, and then we're all kind of in this one big relativistic pot of, you know, no one, we never talk about anything that's real, but we all just kind of accept one another in tolerance, whatever. But what we're talking about is, you know, really, like, what I've heard that they, you know, when people would meet St. John Paul II, they say he would look you in the eyes, and it was like he just knew everything about you, you know, and like, just that encounter with the love of Christ, that must have been so, you know, when he was walking this earth, it must have been so powerful. And like, do we encounter people that way? Do we encounter people as persons and really like try to, or do we just kind of like, we're all just kind of functionary in our parish life, like, yeah, just trying to get past one another.
And
I think if people are going to attach to our parishes, and if they're going to stick around, the primary reason, especially for young families, young couples, is going to be because they have some kind of meaningful relationship at the parish. Someone who's looking for them on Sundays, wants to invite them to things at the parish, wants to build an actual friendship with them, evangelizing through friendship. So
that's right. Great idea. And we have about 2 minutes left in the segment. We do have many people listening who are in parish leadership roles, so I'm so glad you're able to come on to talk about this. Your final step is what you call follow-up, and you go on to tell a story about an insurance company experience that you had. Now, in the less than 2 minutes we have, could you just touch on that?
Right. Well, so I hit a deer, you know, a couple of weeks ago with my car, which is, you know, the worst. But, you know, we got the claim filed and the car fixed and all this stuff. And I have no joke, heard from my insurance company. I mean, I'm still hearing them today because I just haven't responded to their emails.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that's the simplest thing in the world. Let's go back to the baptism prep idea, just to kind of carry that thread all the way through. And there's other occasions where this is true. But, like, whoever's in charge of baptism prep, what if 2 months after the baptism, a couple weeks after, like, congratulating them on the baptism and inviting them to something else at the parish. Like, the joke I was making in the article was that, like, Farmers was showing me more, like, personal care sometimes than, like, my parish does. You know, it's like, all right, good, we got that couple through baptism. Their paperwork is off my desk. I don't have to worry about them anymore. And it's like, well, And I think some of it comes from we need to change our lens. We need to remember that, that these are not initiated, full disciples oftentimes,
right,
who are being involved in these processes. And once we change that lens, how we start to act becomes, you know, more reflective of that.
Very, very basic, but so needed. So I'm so glad you're able to come on the show to shed a little light on this matter. Tim Glemkowski is the president of Lalto Catholic Institute. Tim, if we want to connect with you, I will have the article linked at spiritinthemorning.com, but if we want to connect with you, find out more about your work, best place online?
LALTOCatholic.com, LaltoCatholic.com.
Perfect. Tim Glemkowski, thank you, my brother. Great job. Keep up the fantastic work.
Thanks so much, Gary. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Tim Glemkowski, the president of Lalto Catholic Institute.
Wow.
Dave, it was basic, but what he's saying is so much needed.
Absolutely.
In our parishes. Stay in touch. You
absolutely.
Know, reach out to people. Help, you know,
yeah. I mean,
give them a sense of belonging.
Like, I'm not a product. You know, I don't want to be on an assembly line. I'm a human being, so reach out to me.
That's right. You know. Good stuff. Good stuff. And we're going to have that information. We're going to have that article linked at spiritinthemorning.com. If you're somebody who is in a leadership position in a parish, I recommend you check it out. It's very simple, but man, so powerful. When we come back, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 18:15, Jesus speaks of fraternal correction. If your brother sins against you, tell him his fault privately. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along as witnesses. Such persons are called in for their objective input, not to convict, but to convince the sinner of his fault. Only in the last resort must the matter be brought to official notice, for the sake of the individual and the community as well. Often we hear the entreaty, "Do not judge lest ye be judged," but no one is asserting another's state of soul here. We do no one any good by refraining to correct simply for the sake of keeping the peace or avoiding another's displeasure with us. Such is not the way of love. This applies to society, the diocese, the parish, and our own families. It makes us consider just how much we really love one another. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit,
Spirit,
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been saved. God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope secure. And portion me as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone by Chris Tomlin. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you for listening to Spirit in the Morning. Current time now is 7:53. Okay, let's take a look at let's do the weather and then the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today's weather right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, the temperature is 72 degrees, foggy and very misty out there. Be careful wherever you are. Today we're going to have widespread dense fog. Obviously, we're seeing that. I noticed Dave Parker on the way up, it was
yes.
Treacherous at times. You really had to be careful.
Yeah. It was
so just go a little slower.
Exactly.
Visibility is 1/4 mile or less at times this morning. Going to be warmer as the day goes on with highs in the upper 80s. Tonight, mostly clear, humid with lows in the upper 60s. Thursday, partly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-80s. At the moment in Riverton, New Jersey, 71 degrees. In Quakertown, 63 degrees. And in Malvern, Pennsylvania, it is 66 degrees. All right, time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day, which comes from my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. John 6:27, the words of Jesus. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. Dave, obviously Jesus mm-hmm. is speaking about the Eucharist here.
Absolutely.
It's very difficult. We were talking about this before we went on the air today. It's very difficult in the world in which we live to understand the importance of receiving Christ in the Eucharist, mm-hmm. especially if you're an anxious person. There's a tendency to focus on material things, mm-hmm. what I don't have, what I mm-hmm. need to get.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But ultimately, the most important thing, the greatest thing that we can do every day, if it's possible, is to go to daily Mass, if we can, and
Amen.
Receive the Eucharist.
Absolutely.
But the problem, Dave, is, and Greg Popchak touched on this, we don't always feel something mm-hmm. when we receive that incredible gift of Christ in Holy Communion. We don't feel it.
Exactly.
And sometimes when we don't feel it, the same thing when we pray, we make the mistake of dismissing it
exactly.
and saying, you know what,
yeah.
I don't feel it, but this TV show over here, that's going to give me that instant good feeling. This donut
is
going to feel good, you know. And not that those things are bad, but we like that instant gratification, and it's harder to accept the fact that we're going to get more peace and more benefit out of receiving this intangible Eucharist.
Exactly. Well, that's what we're always called to remember, and hopefully we're reminding people.
That's
right
what
now.
We're trying to do.
I
yeah.
fall into that.
Like, me too.
As you said, oh man, oh there's a program I DVR'd last night and I haven't looked at it. No, I'm going to sit here prior to as I'm waking up before I come to the show, and I'm going to say the rosary. But
sometimes you have to fight yourself to do that, don't you? I mean, and
that.
I think
that's
it's important for you to say that. That's good
exactly.
that you're saying that.
Exactly. So we're all like that. But I mean, so keep focused on, and then to your point, if you can get to daily Mass, take the Eucharist, because that is what's, you know, eternal. Everything else we do is, you know, is not infinite. You know, it's ephemeral, short-lasting.
Yeah.
You know, but we do need some things. And I try to say, Lord, thank you for what I do have. When I start getting into a mode where, well, man, it would be nice to have this or that, like I need a new car or whatever, well, I love this car now. It's been good to me, so I'm thank you, Lord, for, you know, what I do have, everything. You know, my family, you know, my belongings. I may not be rich, but I'm rich in you.
That's so powerful, and it's so good to hear you say that. And I struggle to do this same thing, and I have literally, I mean, this is not a joke, literally forced myself to do that in the morning before I start asking the Lord for all the things that I want that I don't have. I force myself to say, Lord, thank you for the same things you said. My
Amen,
wife,
brother.
My daughters, the hot water. I lived without hot water for a couple days earlier this year.
It was
brutal.
I remember.
You know, and
cold showers are tough. Oh, I'm telling you.
Gosh, electricity too. I mean, we take it for granted until we don't have it.
Exactly.
So I force myself to say, thank you, Lord, for these things and to try to focus on what really matters. Yeah, we need money. We have to pay our bills. Jesus even acknowledged that. He said, your Heavenly Father understands you have material needs. Mm-hmm. But are we focused, spending some time each day focused on our spiritual needs? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. If you can get to Mass, and not everybody can. Not everybody can get to daily Mass. But if you can get there maybe one extra day a week, it will, over time, change your life and bring you a great deal of comfort.
Absolutely
so,
true.
The words of Jesus, I stand by them and I say, yep, Jesus, you know what you're talking about.
Absolutely,
how's that?
Yeah.
How's that for an endorsement?
That's great.
Gary Zimek says Jesus knows what he's talking about.
That's why
that
we're
really
here, brother.
That carries a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on the show in our pro-life segment, our friend Bobby Schindler will join us. And we're going to have a first-time guest on the program, Chris Stewart. He has written a book called Casting Nets with the Saints. Chris is from Casting Nets Ministries. He's a friend of mine. He's from the Midwest. He's going to come on the show to talk about his new book, Casting Nets with the Saints. So, great show tomorrow
Another
in store for
here.
You. I hope you can join us. And remember to let your friends know about Spirit in the Morning.
Mm-hmm.
Also, everything we discussed today, Dr. Greg's information, Tim Glinkowski's information, is going to be linked at spiritinthemorning.com. You can also download the podcast. So if you didn't get a chance to hear the whole show, or in the unlikely event you want to hear me again, or Dave Parker, maybe you want to hear Dave Parker again.
Sure, why not?
You can download the podcast and listen to us again. Spiritinthemorning.com is the place to go. And again, thanks for listening. If you have anything that you need, you can always email me at Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. I'd be happy to hear from you. I'm going to hear my closing music in a couple seconds, so I'm getting ready. I'm a little tentative, Dave.
5 seconds, Gary. Here we go.
All right, so thanks again for tuning in. Remember to keep us in your prayers. We're going to do the same for you. Also, remember that wherever you go today, even though it might be a little foggy, look extra close because the Lord is right with you. And make sure you turn around and say hi to him. On behalf of Dave Parker, this is Gary Zimek thanking you for listening to Spirit in the Morning. God bless you. Talk to you next time.